Blog Talk Radio.
The following program contains material which may be considered offensive to some listeners and outright disturbing to others. The views, opinions, positions, or strategies expressed in this program are solely the thought property of Art Underground, who accepts no liability for the content of this program or for the consequences of any actions taken on the basis of the information provided. This program will contain strong language, pervasive writing, thematic elements, mild perpitude, and general insanity. Listening to the program may or may not induce and or cause headaches, migraines, difficulty breathing, bleeding of the nose, mild antisocial personality disorder, failing faith in humanity syndrome, temporary blindness, sudden panic attacks, confusion, rapid pulse, dizziness, hissy fits, loss of appetite, and may even induce fits of rage. And while listener discretion is advised, the host is apathetic, unconcerned, and uninterested with any of the above problems that you may experience. We simply could not give less of a shit if we tried to. Enjoy!
There's a storm coming. Are you ready? Are you prepared? You damn well better be. This storm here, she ain't nothing like you've ever seen before. So grab hold of your bootstraps and hold on tight. This is gonna be one bumpy damn ride.
Good evening and welcome, everybody. I'm American. Yeah, right. I'm Art Underground. This is American Renegade. It is Tuesday, April 28th, 2020. Just got done listening to Suzette live talk over there on Spreaker.com. Ideas of Bulletproof Radio is the channel. And it was, as she explained it, a kind of like a mishmash of all kinds of different things. But it's always interesting to listen to her. She always brings a unique perspective on things. I'm in the process right now of doing some last minute setting things up for online audio clips and such things as that. And I don't know, I'm not sure if I'm going to get to that one yet or not. I hope so, but anyway, I need to open this one up on this other computer here, I guess, because I didn't get it set, I don't think. Anyway, welcome to the broadcast. I'm going to start out first with a little bit of heartbreaking here. This was... Ooh, that wasn't supposed to happen. I was kind of saddened by this one particular. I hate when these things don't go the way they're supposed to go. It just really aggravates the bejeebies out of me when I can't get things to do what I want them to do. A real pain in the butt. Okay, there. Now maybe that will work a little bit better. All right. And as I wait for that one to load up, and hopefully it doesn't start on me before I'm actually ready for it. As we wait for it to load, this computer is like not the fastest computer in the world. It's one of the problems I have when I'm trying to set things up. Okay, that looks fairly decent there. Make sure we got, okay, there's that one. And because this one web page has two different audio clips on it. so I'm kind of waiting for this thing to finish out so I can. Oh, it's going to. Now, see here, it's going to do two commercials. It never does two commercials. I hate this crap. I really do. It just drives me absolutely bonkers. Okay, now we can pause, dang it. Again, darn thing doesn't want to work right. Okay, hopefully you got it set now. That's not going to work either because I can't play them on this computer. See, that's the problem. I guess I'll just have to wing it without the clips. I guess I don't have any choice. Anyway, here's a little bit of a heartbreaker. I was reading this article. It was kind of like a last-minute thing, just kind of popped up on the Yahoo feed there. And like, here it is.
A new report finds a dog in North Carolina has tested positive for COVID-19. This pug, his name is Winston, is believed to be the first dog in the country to be diagnosed. He was tested as part of a study at Duke University after his owners contracted the virus. They say the dog was coughing and sneezing and one day didn't want to eat his breakfast. Winston recovered after a few days of being sick. His mom and dad say he's doing better health-wise, but they haven't tested him again, so they're not sure that he's coronavirus-free. Of course, the Centers for Disease Control says the risk of animal-to-human transmission is low, Gail. Important reminder.
Yeah.
Okay, the first dog in U.S. to test positive for the coronavirus. And if you look at him, he's got the picture that they posted is just absolutely adorable. If you know what a pug looks like, you know that their tongue is almost as big as they are. But he's just the most adorable little thing you ever did see. But apparently this is a study that has been taking place. Oh, stop it. Will you already? This is a study taking place at Duke University, and apparently what it was, Dr. Chris Woods has been doing some study with people who are testing positive to see how they react under different conditions, and somehow the dog actually ended up testing positive, but the family cat didn't. Apparently cats in Belgium can catch it, but cats in America can't, and lions in America can catch it. I find it interesting. They say the risk of animal to human transmission is not a threat. Let me see. It started out in a bat. Now somehow it went from bat to man. I call that animal to man, animal to human transmission. So it's a threat. Freaking idiot. Anyway, got a lot on the agenda, so let's get right straight to it. Man, it just all of a sudden got hot. I don't know. It's weird that this weather that we've got going on here is just absolutely nuts. It gets down in the in the lower 50s at night. During the day, it gets up to 80s, and then it starts dropping about as time sun goes down, then all of a sudden it gets warm again. I don't get it. And then it gets cool again. Are we living in the desert? I don't get it. Anyway, so first on the agenda tonight is I heard on the news, and this is our local news on our local talk radio station in Augusta, which is about an hour drive from me. They were reporting that Americans are using 40% more toilet paper. No, they're actually using the same amount of toilet paper they would normally use. All right. They're using 40% more toilet paper at home is what they should have said. But the report was like, research study shows Americans are using 40% more toilet paper since this coronavirus epidemic broke out. No, they're using the same amount of toilet paper. They're just using it at home, which is why you see the difference in the sales. Okay? Because they poop at home. If you poop two times a day, you're going to poop two times a day, whether you're at home or you're at work. Okay? So they're using 40% more toilet paper at home. And when the only place you have to go to the bathroom is at home, well, what did you think was going to happen? You know, maybe it's a good thing that, you know, when this whole thing started out, maybe it's a good thing people were just wiping the shelves clear of, yeah, no pun intended, wiping the shelves. Maybe it's a good thing that there was a run on toilet paper early on, because could you imagine if you're not a prepper like me and already had like a year's worth of toilet paper stocked up? Could you imagine what it would be like if you had to stay locked down for a month or two and all you had was one roll of toilet paper? Whoa, boy. You'd learn real quick what sponges are all about. And that used to be the way, if you go back and you study ancient Rome. Now, ancient Rome was one of the first democracies. They actually started out as a republic, the Roman Republic, but then they became a democracy. But the Romans were really good inventors, and they were one of the first ones to come up with the concepts of aqueducts. And they had bathhouses, and the aqueducts literally fed water through the bathhouses. And a bathhouse wasn't just a place you went and took a bath. They had little slit trenches that were in kind of like a mortar kind of, because Romans were really inventive, and they were one of the first ones to come up with the whole concrete concept. They didn't call it concrete back then, but basically, you know, it was concrete for the most part. And they had these little, in the bathhouses, these little sections, you know, sectioned off, where you walk into a room and there's like this little trench and it's lined with this concrete type of mortar. And water flowed through it, and you just dropped your pants or raised your skirt or whatever the case may have been. You squatted over the little slit where the water was flowing through. You did what you had to do, and then there was a bucket with a sponge, or there was a bucket and a sponge, and you'd get water in the bucket, and then you'd get the sponge, and you'd wipe yourself clean. And they didn't have toilet paper, but they, you know, hey, you know, but it worked, you know. And that's, I kind of sort of in a way do that. Something in the chat room get to hear in a minute, but it's something that I'm working towards. I've got my whole composting toilet thing going on. I created my own way of composting my waste, but I don't use a septic tank or anything like that. I got a shower house. I'm building a solar shower house. It's gonna be pretty cool. All right, in the chat room, I see Suzette's in the chat room. Hi Art, it's me. Didn't have time to log Rob out and me in. Here's the clip. I am assuming that's the clip for that that news broadcast thingy that I was wanting. So what I'm gonna do is I'm just gonna copy it, because I can't do anything while I'm doing the broadcast here, and I'm gonna open up an RTF and do a paste, and it'll sit there until after the broadcast. Cause, yeah, that was a really cool clip of all the news agencies. It was like, you could tell they were reading from a script, because they're all saying the exact same words. And I love those kind of things, because it just proves what we say, that they're taking their lead. I was actually talking to somebody the other day about this, and they were, well, on the news, and I'm like, look, if you sit down and you take and you just, if you had seven TVs and you could tune each TV to a separate news station, and then when they run their news, you record what they say, and then you layer them one on top of the other, and you begin to see that they're all reading from a script. Well, where are they getting it from? The Associated Press. No. Yeah. Kind of reminds me of, I'm not talking about the original Doctor Who from back in the day. I'm talking about the new Doctor Who that's only been out, what, 10, 12 years now, where they keep changing. Like, the guy dies, and then he comes back with another body and another face. It's really cool, you know, but he's got the girl named Rose that originally starts traveling with him, and then she's a little white girl from England, and then After she moves on, a black girl from England, she joins up with him. And yeah, it's pretty cool. But there was an episode where there's a satellite out in space. It's a space station. And they go into the future using the TARDIS, and they land on this space station. And it's all about news and stuff like that. It's where the news broadcasts come from. And the people down on Earth are picking up the news broadcasts coming from this satellite station. And they actually figure out there's actually one point in there where the lady who runs the space station says, we don't report the news, we write the news. A little bit of propaganda in the entertainment for you. That's Hollywood for you. Anyway, to our issues for the night. Hope we can get to all of it. If not, we'll roll it over till tomorrow. We'll take whatever we don't get to tonight and we'll roll it into tomorrow's broadcast. First up, we want to talk about this coronavirus and crime rates. Now, if you start out going back to April 11th, and I've got 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 articles here about the coronavirus in relation to crime rates. Now, it starts out on April 11th in Time.com. Crime rates plummet around the world as the coronavirus keeps people inside. Now, this is reporting out of Chicago. And it's talking about how because people are staying home, so there are less late night robberies and carjackings and blah 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 blah. Okay, then we also on April 11th, crime rates across the U.S. Because remember that first one, crime rates plummet around the world. So this next one, crime rates across the U.S. drop amid the coronavirus pandemic. And it goes through the same thing. Now, this one, this article was in Forbes.com. And also, they go to Chicago. And in Chicago, drug arrests have dropped by 42% in the weeks since the city shut down. The Associated Press reports, oh, there's the Associated Press. What did I tell you? While in Los Angeles, the rate of key crimes plummeted 30% after March 15th. New York City, the nation's hardest hit epicenter, where nearly 20% of the city's police force reported sick this week, also experiencing a double-digit decrease in crime. According to a former police officer and criminal justice professor reporting to the Washington Post, I guess under the guarantee of anonymity, quote, in some senses, it's like a giant blizzard has hit and there's 10 foot of snow on the ground. You can't get anywhere. In a study by USA Today, 19 out of 20 police agencies record a lower number of criminal incidents since March 15th. And the agency's study also reported a significant decrease in traffic stops, down by 92% in some areas. Well, if you can't go anywhere, you're not in your car going and, you know, you're not in your car cruising down the road. So, of course, traffic, you know. People being pulled over and traffic citations, of course you're going to have less of them. Duh. I needed USA to do a study to tell me that. But it's not all good news. While drug crimes and homicides are plummeted, the rate of domestic violence, and we'll get into that a little bit later. There's your cliffhanger. So we move on to March 26, about a week later. Coronavirus-related crimes are on the rise. Oh, wait a minute. I thought crime rates were down because of the lockdown. Now, a week later, they're on the rise, according to the, guess who? Associated Press. Huh, big surprise there. Some people are trying to capitalize on others' fear and panic related to the coronavirus pandemic. Thieves steal surgical masks. A clinic sells fake COVID-19 tests. Hate groups encourage sick members to infect law enforcement officers. Imposters pose as public health officials. And con artists peddle fake cures and financial scams. It kind of sounds like government, doesn't it? See, here's the thing. And we can actually take this all the way, you know, with everything. It doesn't matter what it is. Big pharma, big agribusiness, you know, large scale corporate agriculture. we can even take this to with respects to fiat currency, the Federal Reserve note. It's okay for the government agencies, and, well, the people who have the government in their pocket, they can commit crimes, but heaven forbid if you do. As the coronavirus pandemic spreads, so too do the crimes related to it. Transgressions that capitalize on fear, panic, and urge to lay blame and add to the burden on law enforcement agencies trying to protect vulnerable citizens. It's really disheartening. A quote by Police Sergeant Pete Dugan in Tucson, Arizona. It is really disheartening in a time like this that someone would take advantage of the community and take them in a time of need. Again, how is this any different than what the government does? The government lies, cheats, and steals all the time. And you let them. Yeah. They even commit mass murder, and they commit some of the most atrocious mass shootings. Well, actually, they do commit the most atrocious mass shootings in the world. Don't believe it? Let me see. Well, they went into Afghanistan. They went into Iraq. They went into Libya. Yeah, you get the general idea, right? Okay, so continuing on, moving to March. Well, let's drop back about a week to March 13th. How COVID-19 layoffs could lead to an increase in crime. Now, here's where it really starts getting interesting. Did you know that your occupation may be all that stands between you and a life of crime? No. Really? According to a new study, again, we need some quote-unquote news agency or some government research think tank or whatever to do a study to explain this to us. But, hey, you know, it is what it is. According to a new study of 1 million laid-off Norwegians over 15 years, this is a 15-year study. They had to study this for 15 years. Out of work, people commit 60% more property crimes, such as theft, shoplifting, burglary, and vandalism, in the year after losing work, and have 20% more criminal charges than when employed. There are huge numbers and very relevant as U.S. workers face layoffs nationwide in the wake of the coronavirus pandemic, and the researchers suspect that layoff crime is even more prevalent in the United States, but no U.S. data exists connecting individuals' employment and crime data. Again, do we really need a think tank or government agency or anything like that to do the research to explain to us that being out of work, if you've got a guy who has been working for 20 years to support his family and all of a sudden he's out of work, do we really need a study to tell us that this man has an increased risk of committing crimes to take care of his family? I mean, seriously. In the chat room, when I was talking about the news being scripted and in relation to that clip that Suzette posted for me, proof positive news is scripted. Sinclair owns and writes the script. Well, everything comes from the Associated Press. We know that. Anybody who's actually been doing any real research, we can't rely on mainstream media to do any. Heaven forbid they actually do their job. Let me see. When you have a minute, was that movie you mentioned the scene? No. What I'm talking about is the newest Doctor Who, not the old original one from the 70s, but the newer one that they did. where the doctor, you know, after several years, he dies, and then he comes, he's redone as a new, with a whole new face and everything, and it's the Doctor Who, the new Doctor Who. Don't ask me which episode it is, because, I mean, it's like, how many seasons have they been going? Sometimes there's no fixing stupid. I think that goes for idiots, too. Yeah, they are perpetually broken. When people start getting their stimulus checks, crime will go up. I bet you are absolutely right. Doctor Who, W-H-O, Doctor Who. Come on, you've heard of Doctor Who. Anyway, so we had to have a study, a 15-year study, to tell us that, you know, unemployment leads to crime. Yeah. Okay, so we bounce to April 24th. It's a slap in the face. Victims are angered as jails free inmates. Now, this was an article that came out in the New York Times, and it plays off of an April 15th news article from NBC News of a Florida inmate, and I talked about this. I'm not a reporter. I'm not a journalist. I just do research, and I come to you, and I give you my – I give you what they're saying, and then I give you my take on it, and then I go, yeah, and you do with it whatever you want to do with it. But I talked about this a couple weeks ago. Edward Williams, 26 years old, of Tampa, was arrested. Now, he's a gang member, and he was arrested on some petty crap. He had been arrested. He was in jail for 6 days. He had been arrested for suspicion of heroin possession, third-degree felony, which is a third-degree felony, and possession of drug paraphernalia, which is a misdemeanor. Now, that's what he was originally arrested on. He was in jail for 6 days, but because he has lung problems, he's a high risk, they let him go. The very next day, he committed a murder. This is what got people, and we've got jails all across the country cutting inmates loose. This is what we're facing. This is why these next two articles are so important. National crisis ramp up stress among couples and families. Psychologists identify the risk and point to resources that can help. This is talking about domestic violence. Domestic violence crimes are on the rise at an incredible rate. It's just crazy. And it's because people are being locked up. They're being isolated in their homes. This is stressful. And when you have mom and dad who work two jobs, you know, who each works two jobs, or maybe they only work one job, I don't know, but they only see each other in the evenings, and then you've got situations like people I know that, you know, the man works during the day, the woman works a night shift, you know, and so they only see each other for a few hours each day, and then they have like 2 days on the weekend to get, you know, that they have the weekend together or whatever the case may be. Well, now they're locked up in their homes together for day after day after day after day after day. I tell you, it's a good thing I live alone, because I couldn't put up with anybody that much. There is no way. I can't tolerate. Granted, I would love to have a woman in my life, but if I had to be cooped up with her 24/7, one of us is sleeping out in the yard, because it's just not going to happen. So now we have domestic violence is on the rise. But here is the real real crisis. Just yesterday, this article came out, CBS News. A national gun safety advocacy group is offering up new guidelines for mayors now struggling to manage two public health crises at the same time, COVID-19 and escalation in gun violence. The criminals are getting bold now. They've been cooped up too long. They're not making any money. Nobody's buying the drugs. They're not doing this, that, and the other. So we are now seeing in cities like Chicago, L.A., San Francisco,
New York. We're seeing an increase in gang violence, domestic violence, shoplifting. It's only a matter of time before we have a new series of mass shootings. And speaking of mass shootings, I see Suzette saying that's such bullshit. I don't know. What's bullshit? Be a little bit more specific. Are you calling me bullshit or what they're saying bullshit? With respect to gun violence, an article also came out yesterday. Gun stores are deemed essential in many states, and this is terrifying. Apparently, gun control activists are upset that gun sales are on the rise. Again! Well, people are paying attention to what's going on. And with an increase in violence around the country, don't you think for one second that people aren't seeing what's happening? So, of course, they're now thinking differently. People who have never owned guns before are now going out and buying guns and taking gun safety courses. We see a lot of that happening around here. And I'm in the Deep South, and you would think in the Deep South everybody got guns. No, we're still fighting the liberals down here. We still have activist groups here in Georgia that don't want you to have guns. Like Stacey Abrams. Yeah, she wants to be vice president. Oh, boy. Philadelphia. Shootings are on the rise in year-to-date homicides compared to last year. Up 17%. That's just Philadelphia. And Philadelphia is a far cry from Chicago, folks. Philadelphia is a far cry from New York City. It's worse in cities like Chicago and New York City and L.A. But that's what we got going on. Okay, moving along here, we come to the immunity ID cards. Talked about this last week one day. Okay, in the chat room, with respect to the bullshit, what the media is putting out there is bullshit. And Suzette followed. Apparently, that was Rob that says it was bullshit, what the media is putting out there. And Suzette follows up with, I can tell your bullshit is different from other bullshit. Well, thank you, dear. Much appreciated. always got to be different. I talked about this last week. Dr. Anthony Fauci, when he was on CNN and was asked about the immunity ID cards, and he says, "Oh, it's absolutely possible. You know, I mean, it's a new day. You know, yeah." So we're now looking at potential ID, coronavirus ID, and then we have Dr. Birx with this, let me freeze this so we can cue this up. And here is Dr. Birx. Whoa, we need to mute my sound check or my feed there so we don't get that in there. This is Dr. Birx on social distancing. Let me see here.
The vice president on Friday said that by Memorial Day, in fact, I want to read the quote exactly here, that by Memorial Day, the epidemic, I think honestly, if you look at the trends today, that I think by Memorial Day weekend, we will largely have this coronavirus epidemic behind us. This Memorial Day 2020, is that realistic, that it's behind us? Can you explain what he means by that?
I think he means that in the models and in tracking our actual data, because previously we were using models based on data from around the world, and now we're very much tracking every single outbreak in the United States separately. And if you look at those outbreaks over time, and you look at places like Louisiana, if you look at Houston, if you look at Detroit and you look at how they've reached their peak and come down and what those cases look like as they come down, it gives us great hope when you project out Boston and Chicago and certainly the New York Metro, which we're all very still focused on. I mean, they still have 45% or so of the entire cases in the United States, and the majority, about 40% to 50% of the mortality. Mm-hmm. So we continue to watch this very closely, but that's where the projections take us. And it's very much based on Detroit, Louisiana, and other groups. And then looking at Seattle, that never really reached a peak and has never really had a large outbreak, and trying to understand what we can do as a people to ensure social distancing will be with us through the summer.
So social distancing will be with us through the summer. And I talked briefly about this the other day, and I was like, you have got to be kidding me. Can you expect? No, I will not comply. I do not care. I am no, you know, and it's kind of like, you know, with Governor Kemp here in Georgia. You know, I was in town the day he, you know, he signed the order, you know, the stay home order and all that crap. And I was like, no, I flatly refuse. And people are like, you're going to go to jail. No, I won't. No, I won't. You know, they will not take me to jail. I guarantee that shit. I ain't going to jail, but I'm not going to be made a prisoner in my own home either. So I'm going to go out and do exactly what the hell I want to do, when I want to do it, the way I want to do it, where I want to do it, with who I want to do it with. And if you don't like it, I've got three words for you, and it ain't happy birthday, Bubba. Anyway, so she said, you know, that's Dr. Burke talking about, you know, social distancing going to be with us through the summer. This is absolutely insane, you know. Then we've got we've got Fauci again talking about immunity cards are a very strong possibility. Do I have in here? Yes, I do have this clip in here. I want you to listen to this clip. Now, this is that Dr. Burke's interview was just 2 days ago on the 26th. It was just Sunday. On the 22nd of this month, just last week, about a week ago, a press release was released. I found this on wethepeopleconvention.org. And we have a Ohio medical director, Tom Zawitzowski, Jesus, president of Tea Party affiliate We the People Convention and executive director of the Portage County Tea Party, called upon the Ohio legislature to demand that Governor Mike DeWine immediately fire Ohio Health Director Dr. Amy Acton, or Acton, A-C-T-O-N, Amy Acton, after her statement yesterday, which would have been the 21st, that it would be a dream to force Ohio citizens to carry immunity certificates in order to go back to work and or resume a normal life. And her continued indefensible public statements that the coronavirus is a deadly disease, when the latest data proves it is not.
No one really knows the answer yet to the immunity. As I mentioned yesterday, we would love, and a couple weeks ago, the big buzz was having a test that can show you had it. And almost in some countries, they're looking at certificates to say that, and then that you were immune and therefore kind of able to go about your business. And I think that would be a dream thing if we can get to something like that. But this virus is like your perfect science fiction invention. It is just that sneaky of an enemy. And, you know, and we don't know how long people shed even after the 14 days. So it is a very infectious disease and very deadly.
Dr. Jay Bhattacharya is a Stanford University medical professor. He's been investigating the death rate from coronavirus, a fascinating and important number, and he joins us tonight. Doctor, thanks so much for coming on.
What are you concluding about the real death rate, the actual death rate from this virus?
I think based on the evidence I've seen so far, it's likely orders of magnitude lower than the initial estimates. The World Health Organization put an estimate out that was, I think, initially 3.4%. It's very unlikely that it's anywhere near that. It's much likely, much closer to the death rate that you see from the flu per case.
Okay, so there you have it. Her own words, this would be a dream. And she even comes out and says this is like the perfect science fiction. What? Now, I've had people actually ask me, why do I continue to talk about Fauci with his immunity card and people like this Dr. Acton and her comments about how this would be a dream to force everybody. And, of course, she's only talking about Ohio because she's the Ohio health director. But Fauci's talking about nationwide. And people want to know why I keep coming, why I keep bringing this up almost every second or third broadcast. I've actually got emails. Why do you keep talking about it? Well, look, you got to understand something. And Suzette's touched on this in the chat room where she mentions the cashless society. Now, I can already hear some people, well, how does this even connect with cashless society? If you've not heard about this yet, and I've talked about this several weeks ago, I've mentioned it several times, with respect to the ID 2020 program. And if you just go to ID 2020, that's I, the letter D, the numbers 2020, ID2020.org. It's all right there. Go to Govern America. Let me look it up so I can give you the exact one. If you go to Radio Govern America, when you get to Govern America on the top bar, as soon as it loads up where it says radio, you'll hover over there or drop down. You go put your mouse right over the words itself where it says Govern America Radio Archives. It all of a sudden highlights in blue. Click on that. It'll take you to the archive page, and it will be which one is it? It's not too long ago. It wasn't too long ago. Where is it? Was it? No, it wasn't Disease Games. Let me open up my personal archive, because I download specific archive whenever, you know, there's a broadcast that I really think should be archived for later. Okay, is it Parallel Construction? I think that's it. 1020. Oops. Back off. That's going to be October 26th. I believe this is going to be it right here. You'll scroll down to the October 26th episode. It's called Parallel Construction. And scroll down to the very bottom, because Darren Weeks posts all of the everything he uses in a broadcast. He posts it all in the show notes, and you'll see a list of various different things from ID 2020. And you can go and you can actually do all your research right there. You know, it's all right there. And now, why do I bring that up? Again, Suzette's touched on this in the chat room there, and we're not going to get to everything this evening, so we'll roll over the rest of this discussion for tomorrow. If you go and you start researching the ID 2020, they're already microchipping people here in the United States in Austin, Texas. They're microchipping immigrants as they come across the border. They're microchipping homeless people. And they've got microchip programs, beta programs going on various parts around the country. And the idea is right now you have your driver license, which has a barcode on the back, a magnetic strip. It's a barcode. It's got all your information there. All your driver information is on that. In Georgia, there are three pictures. Your picture appears three times on the on your driver license. This is part one is for just so they can your picture, normal picture. Another one is for biometrics, and another one is for I haven't quite figured out what the third one is for yet. But one of them is biometrics. Your debit card, credit card has a microchip in it. So you got two cards there. Both of them have a magnetic strip on them, the barcode. Both of them, one of them has your biometric information, that's your driver's license. The other one has your microchip, or it's not actually a microchip yet, but they're chipped, which is why you, instead of sliding them through now, you insert and you wait until it tells you to remove your card. There's your chip. Combine those together. Now you have all your banking information and your driver information and your personal identification. All your personal ID is on your driver license on that medical strip, that magnetic strip on the back. All your personal information is right there. So now you've got your bank information, all your personal information, your home address, all of that between those two cards. The implantable microchip, which is what they're doing with the ID 2020 program, is where they're tagging people in Austin, Texas, immigrants and homeless people and such. The ID 2020, they've actually admitted that the microchip that they want to embed will be a medical microchip. Now, so you've got your two cards, your driver license that I'm being told the third picture is to verify that the other two are who you say you are, which, okay, I can that sounds plausible. I'm not going to say it's not true. It sounds plausible. But you've got between two cards and that microchip, now you've got everything. You've got your personal information, your home address, your home information, all of that phone number, all of that on your driver license. You got all your banking and financial information on your debit card, your credit card, whatever, and now you have the medical information on the microchip. It's just a hop, skip, and a very short jump to one single implantable chip that will have everything on it. And the reason why I actually believe that this is a real threat is because our third and final article on this issue right here is the invisible quantum dot tattoo. Now, this also goes in conjunction. This works in conjunction with the ID 2020 program, but it's targeted toward your children. They don't think that you and I, because we're older and whatever, I'm 57, so, you know, probably people, you know, over 30 or something like that, probably they're not too worried about it, because by the time this all goes into effect, we will have all been, you know, probably be soiling green by that point, because it's never mind, don't even go there. This quantum dot is targeted toward children. So how hard would it be to have all personal information, identifiable information, medical information, and financial information all on one little micro dot? Suzette, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. Thank you. I don't want to take too much of your time, but you're absolutely right. Them targeting the children is going to make the children grow up thinking, if I didn't have anything to hide, I'll just go ahead and do whatever the government tells me to do. And, it's the new norm for them because they don't know anything different. And real quick, as far as everything you just spoke to, those are the things that the news isn't reporting on mainstream media, which goes to that, the video clip that you have there, because they tell you only – you know, what they want you to hear, and that's why we have a lot of people like the people I play on VGR that believe what the media says, because the media tells them, don't believe anything else. It's all propaganda. It's conspiracy. and these things are real. So anyway, that's all. I didn't want to take up too much of your time.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at the quantum dot here, and it says specifically, it says very specifically, it mentions children. And it says that, let me see, where is it here? For people overseeing nationwide vaccine initiatives in developing countries, keeping track who had which vaccine and which can be a tough task. And remember, when I talked about the ID 2020 thing, I said the program began in Africa. And it was all, and they brought it to the United States, starting in Texas. Well, it's to help people who have no other identifying abilities to establish a digital identity.
Yeah.
But anyway, researchers from MIT might have a solution. They've created an ink that can be safely embedded in the skin alongside the vaccine and only visible using a special smartphone camera app and filter. And according to researcher Kevin McHugh, in areas where paper vaccination cards are often lost or do not exist at all and electronic data is unheard of, this technology could enable the rapid and anonymous detection of patient vaccination history to ensure that every child is vaccinated. And the thing is, this dot only lasts for 5 years. So you have to go back every 5 years and get your booster and your updated tattoo. And what do you want to bet? The implantable microchip with the IDA 2020 program is not going to be a part of that.
Wow. This one gentleman on one of those shows had said the same thing as far as the tracking. Somebody asked him, aren't you worried about them tracking your data for coronavirus? And he's like, no, because it's supposed to be just for coronavirus. What are they going to use that data for anyway? I mean, they can't use it for anything else but that. And it's like, Anyway,
yep.
Thank you for taking my call. Have a good show, Art.
Thank you. Thank you, madam. Much appreciated. This is where we're going, folks. This is where we're going, like it or not. And, I don't really care much for Alex Jones. He's great for people just waking up. But if you're still listening to Alex Jones after 6 months, you're not evolving. Okay. And while I don't really care much for the guy, I will give him credit for one thing. When he was talking about this back in the 90s and everybody was calling him a flipping nut job, I bet they're not calling him a flipping nut job now, because everything that he has said about this type of stuff and the cashless society and all of that, it's true. Although to some degree he is a gatekeeper, I will give credit where credit is due. And with the respects to this, he was dead on the money. And we'll probably talk more about this tomorrow, because I think this really needs a little bit more discussion. So tomorrow, Detroit Democrats want to censure one lawmaker, a Democrat, who actually thanked Trump for touting hydroxychloroquine. So now they want to censure one of their own. The FBI is now raiding medical labs. Did you know that? And a popular over-the-counter medicine is showing very good results with respects to a possible treatment for the COVID-19 virus. More about food shortages possibly coming around the corner very soon. Speaker Pelosi, she wants a guaranteed income. God damn, what did I say just a couple weeks ago when they first came out with the CARE Act? Didn't I say it would be opening the door? What does coronavirus have to do with Social Security? I have to wonder how many people have actually caught a load of this one. Very, very scary. Okay, 7 p.m. Sunday, 7 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. on the East Coast. I'm sorry, 4 p.m. 7 p.m. Eastern,
4 p.m. Pacific. American Renegade with me, Art Underground. Spreaker.com/user/ideas of bulletproof radio. Go to podcast and click on the green t-shirt. That's me. Suzette Live Talk updating. She is 8 p.m., not 8:30 p.m., 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, also Ideas of Bulletproof Radio. RZ's Thursday Tunes Show, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, playing some badass tunes. And then on Saturday, RZ's Saturday Free Speech Zone, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. All of this on Spreaker.com. The channel is Ideas of Bulletproof Radio. All three of them, Suzette on Tuesday, RZ's Tune Shows on Thursday, RZ's Free Speech Zone on Saturday, all at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Me every Sunday, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. I want to thank everyone for tuning in. Hope it's been insightful and informative. Till next time, take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. And remember, no matter what they say, no matter what they do, no matter how hard they work to intimidate you, don't ever be afraid to stand up, speak out, and let your voice be heard. I'm Art Underground for American Renegade. Be safe out there, folks.
Now you're gonna make it, you're free.